Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another great episode of Great People TV. You're with me, Ben Ibrahim and Hannah Ismail, and now it's the last week of Bulan Puasa.
Yes, I can't wait to write you. Tapi apa-apa pun kepada anda, don't forget to like, share and also subscribe us on Great People TV on Facebook, Instagram, and also we are on YouTube.
That's right, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, all our social media platforms, and also LinkedIn as well. And more news about LinkedIn coming up, well, in the next couple of episodes. We keep teasing you about that, but more news will be coming very shortly. But today, our guest, well, let's start with our topic. The topic is the magic of Meranti. What are we talking about? Okay, got to tell you a little bit of a story. We all know the Malaysian Global Innovation Center, which is known as MAGIC, which was there to spearhead entrepreneurship and startups. And then just about 18, not too long ago, it got merged with Technology Park Malaysia to become Meranti. But the CEO from day one at MAGIC, not from day one when it started, but just a while back, was Zulaira Abu Bakar, who is our guest today. And just recently, because she did such a great job at MAGIC, when MAGIC and Technology Park Malaysia merged, it became Meranti. But still spearheading the same MAGIC, which is to lift the ecosystem of entrepreneurship, startups, and encouraging Malaysians to be their very own boss and to succeed, not just within Malaysia, but over the sea. Be an international entrepreneur, but first and foremost, Malaysian, of course. So without further ado, let's welcome Ms. Zulaira Abu Bakar. Zulaira, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
No problem. How's the fasting month treating you?
Okay, good. I actually enjoy Ramadan.
Right.
I think it gives you a different kind of clarity and purpose, I suppose.
Right. Now, let's just start this very interesting conversation. Don't worry, it's very chilled and relaxed. And you know what? The topic is the magic of Meranti. But before we get, we just told our viewers, as you heard, how you got to the position and everything. Congratulations. I'm sure you've heard that word congratulations 750 times over the last couple of years, but we won't mention that too much. But before we talk about the job, let's talk about you as a person. You know, like, you studied a law degree. And very rarely do we see lawyers becoming CEOs. Usually lawyers, you know, run their own practice or become the head of regulatory affairs, become the head of corporate communications or both. But tell us about where you're from, your family, and what was that first childhood dream?
Okay. Wow.
It's a thinker.
Well, firstly, I think I would have made a bad lawyer. hence why I didn't pursue the path of, being a full-fledged lawyer, starting out my firm and whatnot. It certainly wasn't my childhood dream. Okay, I was, how do you put this? I was probably a little bit more creative growing up. You know, I had multiple dreams. I had wanted to be a journalist. I had wanted to be an actor. I had wanted to be a singer. A lot of things.
Wow.
Of course, I didn't have the talent to support any of those.
You're being modest.
No, of course. I didn't have the talent at all, right? At all. But I wanted to be a doctor. Wasn't great in math at the time. I think I'm better at math now than I was in school. Math and biology and all science subjects. Ironically, I'm in tech and science today. I think the interest sort of grew over time. So, I would say my journey into technology was rather accidental, probably stemmed from the fact that I didn't want to become a lawyer, right? Although I did read law. In the 80s or 90s, rather, I think families are a little bit more traditional. There are certain type of professions where families would prefer their daughters more than anything else to be in. And I was no exception, right? And also, I was a product of those unfortunate period where I couldn't go abroad. You know, it was the Asian financial crisis at the time.
Tough times.
All my efforts to actually get a scholarship didn't actually go through, and obviously I didn't come from a wealthy family, so I wasn't able to sort of get my parents to support me to study abroad. So I decided to of course do my degree locally, which turned out to be, I think, one of the best decisions that, you know, best sort of turn in life that ever happened to me. And I think today, turning back, I grew to sort of appreciate what the local education system has done for me.
Nice.
So I am proud today to tell everyone that I'm a product of the local education system, right? Higher learning education system. I went to UITM to do my law, and I pursued my MBA in University of Malaya, because again, at the time I was already working, and I had financial commitments that didn't allow me to sort of leave work and work full and study full time. So I had to do it on a part-time basis. So yes, I am I'm a product of the local higher learning institutions. That's one, of course. So after graduating, I was, of course, in this conundrum. What am I to do? Unlike all of my coursemates or my friends who had, taken up, jobs in law firms, I was left rather confused, not knowing what to do, because I was very clear that that wasn't the path that I wanted to get into. And by sheer luck, I would say, I stumbled upon this ad that was hiring for a agency at the time. So it's called Astronautic Technologies Sdn Bhd. Many people didn't know that, but Malaysia at the time actually was developing our own remote sensing satellite. So actually, I was into rocket science lah, at the time, right? So my first job was actually in a company that was building rockets and satellites, right? So I knew nothing about the industry, but I joined the business development and legal team at the time.
Nice.
I had an amazing boss. My then boss is now the CEO and president of Sirim.
Wow.
Right? So so he was amazing. He gave me basically every room possible for me to grow as a young executive who knew nothing about the industry. So I learned a lot. I traveled a lot also during that stint. And I think that was my sort of pathway into technology. That sort of developed my interest into business technology, funding technology, the whole curiosity around the whole technology value chain in that sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that got me going. And I began to start doing my MBA at the time. So I did it part-time. I was a bit of a nerd, I didn't have weekends, for 3 or 4 years, no weekends. Weekends, you go to classes. Monday to Friday, you work.
Wow.
Very crazy hours.
Yeah.
So I spent my early years literally working hard, really hard, and gave up a lot. I think you have to sacrifice a lot in order that. Not too proud of it, because I actually sort of neglected my friends and family for a while, but I needed to do what I had to do. So now that brought me into venture capital. After my stint, I was in ATSB for about 5 years, close to 5 years. I think it was, I found that to be a very, very rewarding stint. Not only that I learned about the industry, I also had the opportunity to meet big personalities in the industry. Well, now big, then probably he was just starting up. I had the opportunity to meet Elon Musk at the time.
Wow,
who
cool.
knew where he would be
so
today?
So jealous.
Yeah, no, who knew, right? Yeah. Who knew? And at the time when we met him, he was operating out of this rundown, go down kind of place in LA. Dingy place lah, but yeah, so we were their first commercial payload at the time. So we worked very hard in launching RazakSat. Of course, that was a success story for Malaysia. I would have hoped that we could have continued that through. But yeah, and after that, I got into venture capital. Venture capital was, of course, another eye-opening experience for me, where I managed to actually look at the whole experience of investing into technology companies, and venture capital today is not what it used to be 10 years ago. I got into venture capital in 2007, right? Literally about 10 to 12 years ago, right? So it's completely different from what it is today. It has evolved. It has evolved in the direction of it being more platform-driven, more digital-driven. Before this, it was more hardware-driven tech. So I kind of tell people that I've seen the evolution of tech as well. seen how the venture capital industry works and understand the needs of the industry. So a bit of a dinosaur in that sense. And I think after that, there was no turning back. Right? After that, there was no turning back. And I started working in the same trajectory. I was in private equity, in venture capital, and I also worked in impact investing, right? So I also worked on setting up foundations and charitable organizations. I looked at social enterprises. So it's basically around entrepreneurship, technology,
yes,
and scaling
yes,
up.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, very
right?
much so.
Very much so, very much so. And in fact, I think that I would think it's probably my true calling in that sense, because I'm very instinctively driven, instinctively driven towards building businesses. And I think that also comes from the fact that both my parents are actually entrepreneurs in that sense, right? So my mother ran a commercial laundry. At the time where laundry businesses were small in nature, you know, and it's usually just individual laundry, not, you know, commercial laundry, or, you know, it's not at a scale that you would see. And it was, you know, managed by my mother single-handedly with, you know, people working with her at the time. So she managed that commercial laundry business for about 10 years. And, you know, I sort of saw the ebb and flow of entrepreneurship, the challenges that come with it. You know, there are days that you don't know what you're going to do for the next month, or how you're going to pay salaries for your staff the following month. You know, all of this sort of ingrained in me, because there were times that I grew up in this setting, right? After school, I would be in my mom's office, sitting down, looking at all the issues that she has to face whilst doing my homework. So that, I think it's subconscious programming, in the sense that you are driven to look at these sort of issues, or these sort of businesses, or that sort of, you know, interest in that sense. My father too was an entrepreneur, although he was a little bit more technical in his job nature, but essentially he ran his own business, therefore he's an entrepreneur. So I think that sort of directed me into this path. So I would think that I have the natural ability to sort of empathize with entrepreneurs.
Right. No, that's you've come from such a vast variety of skill set and qualifications, and it's put you in good stead to the job that you're doing today and the previous jobs that you did before.
I would think so.
But just before I pass it to Hannah, who's dying to ask a few questions, I'm just going to ask one more question about the skills, dream career aspect. You mentioned, and I'm just going to retweet this question from the question that I sent you in the email, but you mentioned that you've done a lot of things: business development, technical development, corporate communications, corporate affairs, regulatory frameworks for being an in-house lawyer of a company, your MBA, your law degree itself. If you could name one thing that really puts you in good stead to be a CEO, you know, my father always told me my auditing skills really helped him when he was CEO, you know, because he knew what people spend, so people couldn't tipu him lah, okay? So what's that one, if you had to narrow it down to one skill or qualification, what would it be?
I think one is going to be a little bit challenging.
Okay, two lah. Or three.
You know, okay, if I were to narrow it down to one, I think it's the ability to articulate your thoughts, right? Because I think it's important to allow people to know what's going on in your head.
Fair. That's good. Communication, yeah. Hardest thing to do. Yeah.
It's the hardest thing to do, but people think communication is about talking. No. It's really about articulating what is required. You need to listen to what the industry needs, the ecosystem needs. So, you know, everything that you do has to do with communication. You can think about a lot of things. You can think about the next best strategy. But if you are unable to articulate what's in your head to your team, to your stakeholders, to your partners, to the ecosystem, then it doesn't work. So I think, to me, the single most important thing as a leader of any organization is the ability to articulate.
Great, great. Well, Hannah's a very good listener. She's also a very good talker. So, Hannah, what question would you like to ask?
No, because I was wondering, you have quite an interesting job because you are assisting the technopreneurs as well. So when you're in Magic, tell us about the experience and how does that transform in the role you are today, you know, assisting the technopreneurs and helping them with the venture capital and whatnot?
So in Magic, we didn't fund the entities. We facilitated funding. We allowed them access to parties that can fund them. But what we do in Magic is basically create the necessary environment to enable them to grow. So we give them necessary support, coaching, mentoring, understanding their pain points, connecting them to partners, to vendors, to corporate entities that may be interested in their product. So, I mean, in not so many words, we are the trusted advisor that can provide you the necessary support to grow from point A to point B, right? To allow you to scale, strengthen your business, build solid foundations. That's essentially what we do. And that's basically the essence of all the programs that we create, right? The programs that we create may just differ in terms of name or how we do it or, you know, the mechanism. But ultimately, the objective is to help entrepreneurs grow, right? To provide them a less complex method to grow, because entrepreneurship in itself from the get-go is a complex thing. It is difficult. So if getting assistance is also difficult, then it defeats the purpose. So we try and, you know, make their lives easier.
Nice.
Cool.
And how about now that Magic and Magic and Technology Park Malaysia, Zulera, is under Meranti, tell us how the narrative has changed slightly moving forward. I mean, ever since you got the job last year.
Sure. Okay, so going back to what I spoke about Magic. So Magic is about providing the platform to build capacity. Okay, build capabilities.
Skills.
Foundations. Skills of the entrepreneur and the entity in itself. Okay, which is an integral part of growing an entity. Now, or growing an ecosystem rather. With Meranti, the other key component to Meranti is Technology Park Malaysia, which is an agency in itself, which has been around since 1996. It's been around for 25 years, focused on providing space, infrastructure, land facility, as well as some capacity building support as well. So I think what we believe this whole merger will achieve is consolidation of support, right? Because both Magic and TPM at some point in time provided capacity building. What Magic didn't have is infrastructure support, space, and land, all right? So combining those two elements would provide an integrated support for entrepreneurs, technology startups, to come to us to get that support that's required. Okay, so the added layer of Meranti is that we will also be looking at viable IP, right? Intellectual property, which is a core component of technology. Okay, now as a country, we talk about technology being an advanced country, advanced nation, but that can only be achieved if we are able to raise our game, raise our standards. And that can only be done if we have the right technology talent, right technology solutions, right? So we essentially need to move from consuming technology to producing technology. Now, how do you start producing technology? You have to start growing the technology in-house, right? In Malaysia. And that is not to say that we don't have technology that is developed in Malaysia. We have tons of technology that's developed in Malaysia, especially in our local institutions. And in the early part of this interview, I talked about our local institutions, and I will go on to continue to say that our local institutions are doing amazing work. However, there's no clear pathway in terms of how these IP that are being developed by our amazing researchers in the universities to get out to market. Or sometimes these amazing researchers in the universities are developing IPs or developing technologies and solutions that's probably not required by the market. So what we are trying to do is create a match between what the market needs, which is what we need, and what they can supply us. So we will be that platform that will match demand and supply, and at the same time provide a clear pathway for these technologies to come out to market, right? So then you will give them the commercialization support through the entrepreneurship support that we talked about earlier. Magic can provide that. And at the same time, if they need incubation facility, you need labs to test, validate. You come to Technology Park Malaysia, which is now called Meranti Park. We have facility to support these sort of activities. And then at the same time, if you're growing from, say, 2-people team, 5-people team to now 50-people team, and you've, you know, gotten investors, we've got land space for you to build your own facility. Right? Nice. So we provide the entire sort of support for Great. Technology companies to grow. But at the same time, we also have facility and the ability to attract international companies to be based out of Malaysia, out of TPM, out of Meranti Park. Right? So that's our sort of strategy right now. Because what we're trying to do is really build an ecosystem in Malaysia. So, I mean, a tech park is built out of strong technology players being centered in one location. It's about co-locating all of these great players. So essentially, this is what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Cool. Cool.
I think a lot of people didn't realize that we have a very supportive system for technopreneurs and anyone interested to venture in it. And we also have a very supportive minister, you know, who was an entrepreneur. But tell us a bit about Datuk Sri Dr. Adham Baba and what he wants really for the ecosystem.
So we are very fortunate to have a minister who appreciates the needs of the ecosystem, is very, very supportive and accommodating to our requests, right? So he knows that we are the people on the ground dealing with the ecosystem. So therefore, when we put out certain requests or certain policy recommendations, he's very accommodating, right? So he would look into facilitating. Of course, it is a function of working together, I mean, taking a whole of a government approach. It's not just MOSTI, you know. I think the more important thing is that he's also very dedicated about this cause, right? So science, technology, innovation is something very close to him. And he, I would say, is a advocate of science and technology in that sense. So we hope that we will continue to get his support for us to ensure that all of our programs achieves its intent.
I must have to ask this question, Zulera. I mean, because your position is not easy because you're managing a lot of stakeholders, a lot of expectations, all the above. And we've been very fortunate. I see us as part of the industry as well. Like me and Hannah, you know, like we are small startups, but we are part of the ecosystem here and there, you know, emceeing a few events and some of your events, which have been great. But just got to ask this, that you've had two great ministers, Khairi Jamaluddin and Dato' Sri Dr. Adham Baba. But moving forward, let's be honest, the political landscape, we don't know. I mean, nobody ever knows in any country what's going to happen. So how do you, I mean, everybody always says, oh, that magical C word, continuity. How do you do it? You know, because like you don't know who's the next person is going to be. And maybe that person might have a different point of view of how entrepreneurship and startups and, you know, continuous innovation should be done.
My perspective is this. If you continue to do the right thing and it works, it should be continued, right? Work should be continued. And anyone who takes over as minister would want good work to continue. It would be in the best interest of the ministry to continue to oversee the good work that has been done and continue to support the good work. So I always emphasize the fact that good work comes from addressing real issues in the market, real issues in the ecosystem. So if you have a clear solution and it works, I don't see why it should be undone. Okay. Right? So I always emphasize that continue to do the work, put your head down, continue to do the work, ensure that your audience is served. So I think we are very clear. Our audience, despite the fact that we deal with multiple stakeholders and and all that we're dealing with, our key audience is the ecosystem. So if we continue to deliver the best for the ecosystem, inshallah, our work will not go in vain.
Well, the way we see it, Zulera, we see it as a bicycle. If it like a successful bicycle person or bicycle athlete, if it ain't broken and it's running smoothly, keep pedaling. So
exactly.
Hopefully it will keep pedaling.
Exactly. Yeah?
So right. There you
and
go.
And I think we've been very fortunate that our work has yield results.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the results. Can you tell us about just, you know, like there's been a great discussion thus far and, you know, just only got a couple more questions before we wrap it up. But can you tell us about those results and the wins that you're very proud of in the time that you've been in Magic and Meranti at the same time?
So I think we've done a lot of great work. Again, I am very fortunate to have an amazing team who understands the direction that I'd like to take the organization in and committed. Really not possible without an amazing team, right? I think one of the few things that we've been very proud of is the National Technology and Innovation Sandbox. It was launched at the thick of the pandemic in 2020. We launched it in May 2020. We went to the Prime Minister in April or May 2020. So it started out as a platform to actually promote local technologies. Like I said, moving into a technology producer as opposed to a technology consumer. We want to try and find ways to address the issues that we're facing in the country through local solutions. So we wanted that platform to be a platform for local technology providers to rise. However, that has grown by leaps and bounds in that sense. Right now, it is one of the most important platforms for technology in the country. It's spanned across the entire sort of government machinery. We work across almost all ministries. We have seen close to 5,000 over applications come through our system, close to 200 entities already being processed, close to 100 entities already funded. And we are building multiple focus sandboxes from agriculture to construction to healthcare. We're also looking into green technology. We're looking into waste management. So I'm very proud to see that how the team has taken this platform and evolved it to the sense that it has become a platform to solve the nation's most pressing problems, right? So it's a pipeline of solutions that we are pushing through, right? So that's one. And I think overall, I've also, you know, quite happy to see how the whole Meranti sort of mandate has turned out. It started from something called the Technology Commercialization Accelerator. It's not without its challenges, okay? Merger of two entities is never easy. Merger of any entity is never easy. But we got it done in less than a year. We are now operating as one single entity called Meranti. TPM has been renamed officially to Meranti Corp. And we're also very proud as to how the whole Meranti came about, because we wanted something truly uniquely Malaysia. Actually comes from Meranti, the yellow Meranti tree, which is the tallest tree which is found in Malaysia. Nice. Signifies strength, signifies strong roots. Also the fact that when it grows out, it provides a canvas, essentially what we intend to do, you know, canvas and provide support for the entire ecosystem. That's basically sort of the inspiration behind why we chose the name Meranti. And Meranti stands for the Malaysian Research Accelerator for Tech and Innovation. So after many, many months of hard work, very little sleep, and we're now here. We're excited to take this forward. I hope that I will be given more time to spearhead this entity.
Well, it's very exciting. And one of the things that I think that the first thing that we all need to do is put our children to bed on time. And I do apologize for my son moving around in the background there just now. I think he I mean, you're speaking about great innovation, like, you know, like the product of being the Malaysian system and everything like that. I think he got words of inspiration from Yuzulera that, you know what, great people don't sleep. So he's not sleeping, so he's really running around and doing all of the above. So I need to do a better job as a parent. But look, great. We wish you all the very best with that. You know, great wins thus far in a very short space of time. And inshallah, things will just get better and better. Now, I don't have any more questions. Do you have any more questions before we say goodnight and Selamat Hari Raya next week?
Last but not least, that said, any exciting opportunities for future technopreneurs that Meranti has to offer?
What's your message to the to the ecosystem to go with you on that journey to never stop pedaling?
Don't be disheartened by the challenges that will come your way. Continue to cycle, right? And you know, I think it's important to reach out to get the support, because sometimes support is just not available when you need it the most, but it's out there. So I think it's important to reach out to the ecosystem and get the support that you require, because it's out there, and we are trying to refine the support as best as possible. That's one. And I think in terms of exciting things that are coming up, we're working on multiple programs that we hope that we'll be able to roll out next year. But this year, is a lot of it is business as usual. But we are looking at it from a cluster-based approach. I would tell the ecosystem to look out to all of our social media handles. We promote all our programs on social media. It's the easiest way to get out the word, apply, and you know, be part of our programs.
Right. Well, that's a very, very genuine way of saying that message, Lara. Keep pedaling and go with you on the journey. Look, on behalf of Great People TV, Hannah and myself and our team right here, we thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to talk to us. As we always say to all our guests, and this is not a lie, if you ever need any media support, any communication support, because like you said, communications is the hardest thing, and you need something to blast out your message, whether it's just, you know, just news or success stories, please just send me a WhatsApp or send us a WhatsApp. We'll happily have you back on Great People TV. And if Elon Musk is in your office and you're trying to do something with him, whether he's on the screen or face-to-face, just cast.
Perfect.
Just stick it down to one or two questions. Yeah.
Perfect.
And also thank you to Magic and TPM and Meranti, who's always been very supportive of our entrepreneurs since day one. So thank you. Supportive and also very welcoming.
Thanks, Selera. We'll be in touch. Selamat Hari Raya to you and your family and to everybody at Meranti.
Selamat Hari Raya, honey and Dan.
Night. Short and sweet and to the point. That's what I like with dealing with lawyers, now.
We had a very interesting discussion, and I hope a lot of entrepreneurs who are also watching us right now gain a lot of benefits and some exciting infos regarding Meranti and how we can help and assist you guys with your business, inshallah, in the future, and hope bertambah maju lah business, inshallah, in that year. And to everyone watching, thank you so much. And don't forget to subscribe us on Instagram, on Facebook, and also on YouTube, and on LinkedIn.
And don't forget, inshallah, and don't forget to support Meranti as well. Go to their Facebook, press like, their Instagram, and also support everybody, because we're all brothers and sisters in the same ecosystem, trying to cari makan and trying to be our very own boss. On behalf of Hana Ismail, myself, Ben Ibrahim, and our team here at Great People TV, thank you for being with us. Selamat berpuasa, not long now till Hari Raya, and if we don't see you before Hari Raya, Selamat Hari Raya, you know, mazhab di batin, and be safe and be well. Assalamualaikum.